closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever been.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mount. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted. But that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the critics, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can't get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer, closer than I ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, closer, closer.
Hello, and how is everybody doing this evening? I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP locker room, and we are ready for tonight's show. We have an amazing guest lined up for you guys. For those that are joining us for the very first time, the BYGP locker room is a show that is solely dedicated to young football players, aspiring college and professional football players. We bring in coaches, current and former, players, current and former, and business professionals to help you guys along the journey. Tonight is no different. We have a gentleman on who has done it on both sides of the fence, you guys, as a player and now as a coach at the University of Central Florida. He is somebody that has coached at other major programs, and he's coming in tonight, you guys, to give you a real honest and open opinion on what it takes to attract a college football scholarship, and then once you get to that college, how you can have success on and off the field. So we have Coach Jovan DeWitt from the University of Central Florida. I think he's already on the line. Can you hear us tonight, Coach?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Hope you guys can hear me.
We can hear you fine, Coach, and we definitely appreciate the time. I think you may be on the road right now because I know recruiting is heavy, so we don't take that light. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. I'm on the road. I've been on the road for a couple of weeks, a few more to go, but this is something I think is worthwhile doing, so I wanted to make sure I had the time to do that.
Perfect. Well, hey, let's get right into it, Coach. For those that
sure
don't know you, aren't familiar with you, where are you originally from?
Well, I'm kind of from all over. I grew up really in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. Is really, if you had to say there was one place that I was from, that's where I would say that I was from. While my family calls South Florida home now, I went to college at Northern Michigan University up north in the UP of Michigan. So even north, about 6-7 hours north of Milwaukee. So I'm kind of from all over the country, to be honest with you. Lots of family out in L.A. and California. I was born in Pomona. So I'm really kind of from all over.
Wow, gotcha. So obviously spending a lot of time in Wisconsin, I'm sure mm-hmm the Green Bay Packers were on every Sunday. When did you start to realize personally that you might have a future in football?
I don't think I necessarily realized it so much until I became a senior in high school and started to have some benefits. And when it really kind of dawned on me was I was having to make a decision between wrestling in college and taking football and doing football in college. I didn't think I was able to dedicate time to do both in college. So I had a couple of major offers to go wrestle in college and decided that I would actually choose the path to go football because I thought there might be a longer career in it.
Did you have anybody that thought you were crazy for choosing that path?
Not one person, to be honest with you. I
had
pretty supportive family and friends. So everybody pretty much agreed with me. Because they were kind of, everybody was hoping I would come to that conclusion because they knew I was a pretty big wrestling fanatic. So everybody was fairly glad that I came to that conclusion outside of maybe my wrestling coach.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously it's paid off for you, Coach. Talk to me a little bit about once you got up to Northern Michigan. I mean, you had tremendous success up there. You were All-American, I believe, Defensive Player of the Year your last year. But you were also great in the classroom, majoring in physics and math. Was that a hard juggle for you, or was that something that came pretty easy?
Well, there were times, I think early on in college, I didn't think it was that big a deal. As I got older and the classes got real, one of the unfortunate drawbacks was early on I was able to handle it fairly well, so I kind of got a little bit lazy. And then as I got older and I started to take some real classes, I realized I'd better start to buckle down, so I had to change a little bit and made sure that I, you know, paid attention more to the schoolwork. As you know, you're coming from a college, you have no idea what's going to happen when you're done playing. So I'd come to the realization of how much more important academics was going to be. Not that I was ever bad at academics, but I realized once the classwork got real, I had to do a better job of dedicating some time for it. So it was not an easy task, to say the least. Many a nights where they actually gave me my own office in the science building for a while, so that I could stay there late at night and study and do some of those things. So I was very fortunate to have a really good supporting cast of professors and coaches to allow me to do that.
Wow, that's wonderful right there. And as far as advice, maybe, because you went to Northern Michigan, I believe a Division II school, so a little bit under the radar, but you still had the NFL opportunities and the pro ball opportunities.
Yeah.
What advice would you give maybe to a young man that's listening at a D2 right now that does have that dream of being seen by a pro team?
I believe it's a lot better situation for small college players now than it was, like for say when you and I were coming out of college. You know, back when I was coming out of school, there weren't anywhere near as many opportunities to work out for scouts. You know, now there's multiple regional combines I think players can go to. The actual camp roster size has increased, I want to say, by 15 or more than when I was out. And so if you were a fringe player, you know, much like I probably was rated as a fringe guy, there's many more opportunities for those guys. So to make sure that when they get those opportunities that they're taking full advantage of them, and, you know, and having the realization that you need to sacrifice what you want now for what you want to achieve later, I think is probably some of the best advice I've ever gotten. And that you may want to go out and do hang out with the boys and do some things this weekend, but at the end of the day, that's not going to be your end goal. So you have to sacrifice a little bit of what you want now for what you want to accomplish later.
Well said right there, Coach. Great advice. And hopefully you young players are listening to what Coach is talking about, just delaying that instant gratification. And I do see that we have a caller calling in from the 414 area code. We've got Coach for a short minute tonight, so we won't be accepting call-ins tonight, but we definitely appreciate you listening to the show, and we'll have that in the future. Coach, obviously, years of coaching now, and it's something where you've planted your flag as far as your post-football career. When did you start to decide that might be an option for you, that you might be interested in coaching?
Well, if you want me to be truthfully, bluntly honest, I started coaching because I couldn't play anymore. Nobody wanted me to play for them anymore, so I started coaching. Actually, one of the things that happened was I was initially down with the Saints for a couple of workouts and got hurt, and then was coming back to school, I think, in the fall of 97. And the head coach at the time had offered me a small stipend or a scholarship, pay for one or two classes if I would coach football. So I just I was still working on finishing up my undergraduate degree, and started coaching and really fell in love with it. And then was able to continue doing that for a year or two. And then graduated, I think, finally in 99, moved out to California with one of my brothers and was living in Costa Mesa as a mortgage broker, and realized this is just not for me. This is not what I wanted to do. I was having a blast and making all kinds of money, but it just really wasn't very fulfilling. So this has happened to me actually twice now in my life. So I actually quit my job. I had no idea what I was going to do, didn't think anything of it, quit my job. And then not 48 hours later, my head coach from college had called me and said, "Hey, what would you think about coming back here as a graduate assistant. We'll pay for you to go to grad school. And as long as you're coaching football, we'll pay for you to do that. And I was like, perfect. I'm on a plane. Let's go. You know, so that's actually happened to me on more than one occasion in my career. So I think the good Lord has led me down a path that this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
No, definitely. That's a huge sign right there. And it's also a great illustration of how you didn't burn bridges and people still wanted to be around you and offer you an opportunity. So that's huge right there. As far as coaching right now, maybe for some of the players that are listening, I know they might be into coaching. Somebody might want to be in the real estate. You know, there's a million different things for young kids to get into. When do you think guys should start thinking about life after football?
Well, truthfully, I think you should start thinking about life after football all the entire time. I think football is a vehicle to get you to many other opportunities and tools, but it can't be the main vehicle to drive you through life for the most part. While football is what I do for a living and it's a lot, it's intertwined and it's become a lifestyle for me, it's not all that I am. I have a million other interests and things and safety guards throughout my life to be able to make sure that I can handle things in case football is ever taken away. Because even as a coach, you know, football can end at any given point in time. In today's volatile times of being a football coach, those things happen a lot. So I think you always have to look outside of that one specific realm and make sure you've got a safety guard. It's not to say you're going to work any less hard at those things at football, but I think you have to prepare yourself for that eventuality that football will come to an end at some point in time, whether it's even as an end as a player or an end as a coach. I mean, it's going to end at some point in time, and we'll all have to have that realization so that we have other plans to be able to do with our lives, or otherwise, quite frankly, you're not going to be doing anything. So I think from the moment you start, you need to pursue, as you're going through college and high school, as many academic endeavors as you possibly can and put yourself in the position to be successful if football was taken away from you at any given point in time. So to be honest with you, I think at the entire time you're playing, you should be looking for something as well as football to be doing with your life.
Love it. Love it. Great feedback right there, Coach. Obviously, a new coaching staff at Central Florida. Last year was the first year for the staff. Scott Frost, I actually had a chance to play against him when he was at Nebraska, a beast on the field, and I know he's one hell of a coach. So the program is in good hands. But can you talk to us a little bit about the adjustment for taking over a program and maybe how you evaluate kids that are from the previous regime?
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's actually my third time being involved with this process. So I did it once when I was at Florida Atlantic University, then when I went to West Point, now when I'm at UCF. So, you know, one of the first things you try to do is people will be giving you a ton of information as to, you know, who is this kid? Who is that kid? This is what he's about. And every time I've gone into a new situation, I've truthfully never listened. I like to dig in as far as I can in each individual player of my position group and then branch out across the team as much as I can. You know, an example of that was we had a player this last year in Shaquem Griffin, who had not played prior to this year. He was a backup safety. You may or may not have heard of him. He's a kid with he's missing one hand, and it's an outside linebacker for us. And we were going around during spring conditioning drills, which is kind of, you see the county fair, and people are doing a million drills, and coaches are yelling and screaming. It's a conditioning period. And I got to one, there was a few of us that were walking around just evaluating players, and I got to watch him run around and said, you know what, I think he needs to be an outside backer, and he's one of those kids that he was named Conference Defensive Player of the Year this year for our league. So you really want to I shelter myself from too many outside opinions as I'm coming into a new spot and really try to do my best to get to know who our players are as people, not just, you know, what they've done on the field previously, because there may have been outside influences that affected how they play prior to my arrival. So, you know, I try to take everything with a grain of salt, whether it's good or bad, and then really try to come up with my own opinion of players.
Now, I'm getting older, Coach, but I think I just heard you say somebody was all conference missing a hand.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have his, I believe it's his left hand. He's a really good player. He was named Defensive Player of the Year in our league. actually ahead of the first round draft picks in Temple. So he's pretty dynamic player. His brother, he has a twin brother who was just drafted in the third round by Seattle. He's a really good player.
Well,
I'm fortunate to coach him.
Yeah, for everybody listening, we'll definitely want to have him on one day. For everybody listening, if you think you got something to complain about, you need to talk to Shaquin Griffin because he's making plays, missing a hand, and you're not making any plays with two.
He's a really good player.
That's big right there. We'll have to keep an eye out for him. As far as recruiting areas for UCF, I know there's so much talent in the state of Florida, but what are some of the key recruiting areas for you?
Well, I would tell you that we recruit the state of Florida. We try to get to every single high school. There's 638 high schools, I think, that play football in the state of Florida. We try to manage as many of those as possible. We get out there and just there's 9 or 10 assistants on the road at any given point in time, 9 on the road right now, I guess. So we try to get out, and that's really our main area. We will branch out upwards up to Atlanta, a little bit over to Mobile, Alabama. We have to do a little bit of spot recruiting outside the state for different positions where, you know, Florida is extremely fruitful for skill positions, you know, wide receivers, DBs, outside linebackers, those type of players. If you were to say Florida was not as fruitful as maybe the Midwest, would be offensive linemen, you know, those kind of body types. It's just not what flourishes as much down here. So for our major recruiting areas, you would look from, I guess you could draw a line from Key West to Mobile, Alabama, up to Atlanta and back down again, over to Jacksonville and back down. But if you had to say that was 90% of our players, I would bet you that would be where they would come from.
Gotcha. Now, in your opinion, and you've been recruiting for years now, is recruiting an art or a science?
I think more and more people, truthfully, are trying to turn it into a science. So you run into all these guys, these gurus at different conventions that try to come up with different metrics to measure, you know, what player is going to fit this mold, who works best for you, how do you compare one player to another. Whereas I believe recruiting, you have to have the ability to project. And I think, you know, maybe some of the science is trying to help you project things, but you got to have an understanding of what your scheme is, as well as who is going to be coaching that individual. You know, there may be great players out there, but if he doesn't fit say it's an outside linebacker and I'm going to coach him, and he may be a really good player, but our personalities may clash. And so at that point, either he's not going to be successful or I'm not going to be successful. It's not a mutually beneficial relationship. So one of the things I think that people forget to look at is not just recruiting to me is not just collecting talent. Recruiting to me is helping build a better team. And so teamwork, you know, you're trying to get your best 11 players on the field. And so when you do that, you have to evaluate not only from a physical attribute standpoint, but you need to be able to evaluate those guys from a social side, from a moral side, you know, what influences them, who influences them, what do they like, and will that mesh with the culture you're trying to create or continue in your current program? So I guess if I had to answer that specifically, I would say it's still more art than science.
Yep, you hit the nail on the head with the response I was looking for. As far as I was doing some research and read that this was absolutely amazing that you recruited, you started a recruiting app. You created your own app to help you out with recruiting. Can you tell us a little bit about the app and what the features are?
Yeah, sure. So I've always been at smaller college football most of my career, whether that's, you know, I was at a D3 school in Wisconsin, St. Norbert College, 1AA school, Northern Iowa, Northern Michigan University, Fairmont State, and West Virginia. And when you're at some of the lower level schools or smaller schools, your recruiting pool, or even I was at West Point, our recruiting pool was gigantic because we recruited nationally. You had to have a way to manage a lot of names and information. And so during my time as a mortgage broker, I had learned about what's called CRM, contact resource management software, and they had a really good one for the company that I was working for. And so I always wanted to learn how to use that type of software and technology and aiding myself in terms of not just collecting information on players, but being able to have specific notes, attach a video file to it, you know, potentially geotag a player so that if I look on a map, I can see if I'm close to where that kid's school is, have the ability to email them directly from one spot, text message or call from one spot. So as, you know, technology has advanced over the course of the last 10 or 12 years, and I'm kind of a techie guy, one of the things I've always been tinkering with in the back of my mind is how do I build something that will alleviate a lot of the stress from always having to put stuff down on pen and paper. And so one of the things I was able to develop was an app that just actually does all of those things. It's really a CRM management tool that I use that correlates all that information and makes it accessible to some of my coaches that I work with. It's really just been more of my personal toy that I've been playing with. I think we used it, a couple of coaches here used it for a brief period of time last spring when we first all arrived, and we were trying to get organized on what software we were going to use as a staff. So it's proven itself to be fairly helpful for me.
Wow, Coach, that's amazing. And just for you to have the sheer time to knock out something like that, I know you were really working hard on that. Is that something that you think maybe you'll monetize in the future?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm never going to say no if someone wants to hand me a bunch of cash, I guess. But you know, really right now it's just a conglomeration of a bunch of free tools and things that I've used throughout the course of the year that are available online to a lot of different people. And you can kind of put it all together, mash it up and use it. So I think it's a bit clunky if someone wanted to streamline it for me and use it for some other things. So I've had a few other ideas pop into my head that, you know, I think could be worthwhile to some people. But, you know, to me, it's more of a tool that I'm just kind of using to keep myself focused and organized better.
Definitely. We could probably use it here. But as far as taking the next step for a young man that might not have exposure right now, maybe he's a high school junior going into his senior year, or maybe he's a junior college freshman going into a sophomore year. What advice would you give to help a kid get on the radar with school?
Well, I think one of the things that's the most overlooked with either high school players or junior college players is, you know, what kind of relationship do you have with your head coach? Because, you know, and I've heard this quote from other people before, you know, I'm of course, when you go to a camp and you get evaluated at camps, that's going to matter. I mean, that's going to have a huge impact on your ability to be recruited. But your relationship with the coaches that coach you on a day in and day out basis may be one of the single biggest determining factors in your ability to get recruited. We are going to listen to what those coaches have to say. Now, that may not end my recruiting of you. It may not enhance it, but I'm going to take that into a huge factor in terms of, you know, is he a coachable person? Is he a guy that's around the, you know, around the office, around the film room a lot? Does he like football? Does he love football? Because I think what some things people forget over the course of time in recruiting is that, well, everybody loves to be recruited to a certain degree, right? I mean, everybody likes attention. It's nice to feel wanted. There's nothing wrong with that. But at some point in time, you've got to start to produce as well. And so college football, while there's some amazing things about college football, and, you know, I've learned a lot more on the fourth down than I've learned in some classrooms. There's no doubting that. At some point in time, there is a business aspect to college football, which is sometimes unfortunate. And there's a lot of times where, for players, I know it can feel like a job to a certain degree, and there is a certain grind to college football. And, you know, we will listen to those high school coaches that say, you know, I think he loves it. I think he can't live without it. You know, we will take a lot of that into factor. And so being able to generate a great relationship with the coaches that you currently have, I think is one of the best things you can do for yourself as a player that's trying to get recruited to go to someplace new.
Amazing advice right there, Coach. And for those that are just joining us, you are in the BYGP locker room. I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and we've been blessed with the presence of Coach Jovan DeWitt. He is the linebacker coach at the University of Central Florida Division I football program, big-time program. We've got roughly about 5 more minutes here with Coach. And once again, Coach, really appreciate your time. Can you talk to us a little bit, in your opinion, about the life significance of a young man, maybe that wouldn't be able to go to college or pay for it, receiving a college football scholarship to a school like the University of Central Florida?
The significance to it, I mean, you have to look at it from a different, I think what some kids look at or what they fail to recognize is that, you know, getting a chance to go to college for free by playing football isn't just a singular event. And what I mean by that is that that's the potential to be a generational gift. So, and by that, what I'm saying is if you're the first person in your family, like many of my friends and many of my family were, to go to college, right? That's a rarity, because many a times, I think it's something like 80% of kids don't exceed their parents' or their immediate family members' educational level. And so when you have an opportunity to receive a degree, let alone for free, or at a significantly reduced rate, that is something that I think everybody needs to fully appreciate the generational value that that can create for your family. So you're now setting your children up, or your next of kin up for success, or you have the opportunity now to come back to where you're from. Let's say you're a kid from Miami or Fort Lauderdale, and you want to go back to your hometown and show everybody that it is possible, and you can set examples for other people in your community. Maybe you're from a less affluent community and there's not a lot of people with college degrees. Now you've got the opportunity to go out and do those things and show them that it is possible. And I think there are a lot of kids out there that don't believe that it's possible for them to go to school. And so when you're given an opportunity to go to college, whatever the level is, you know, you need to make sure that you have a full appreciation of who you are representing and what torch you're carrying for those people, because you are setting an example for somebody, whether it's somebody in your life currently or somebody that's going to be in your life in the future. And I've always looked at it as such, that I've got to put the best foot forward that I possibly can, because I'm not responsible just for me, but I'm responsible for those people in my immediate family and my immediate friends. I represent them as much, if not more, than how I represent myself.
Amazing feedback right there, Coach, and I love the term generational gift. That's a great way to look at it. A couple more questions before we let you go. I won't mention the school, but there was a Big Ten school recently that I was reading has three young football players that were arrested for a potential armed robbery. These were freshmen, two freshmen and one incoming freshman that enrolled early. Is deciphering which kids are the right kids for you guys socially, is that something that's talked about amongst the staff, and is that something that's harder to figure out nowadays?
Well, I think that's something that's of the utmost importance. We would do a background check on every potential signee that we may have, and it'll affect whether or not we offer a kid, and we will look, you know, from a social media standpoint to a guidance counselor standpoint to if there's a police officer in your high school, we will look at that. We will talk to them. I talk to everybody. I have a litany of questions that I go through from a character development standpoint with every single recruit that I visit with throughout the course of the recruiting cycle. That is something that is absolutely of the utmost importance for me to be able to do. So, you know, for me, that's just something that I've got to get done every single time. And is it harder to determine? To a certain degree sometimes, but what I recognize is if you ask pointed questions, a lot of those times the people that are around you will answer them, and kids are, you know, they do so much on social media that they think is somewhat innocuous, and, you know, we see it and we're like, hey, that's an indicator that there may be something that we don't know about, and we try to find out about it.
Do you think the kids know and they just don't care? They're not really executing the best judgment, or do you think the kids aren't really educated on how to act socially as good as they should be?
I really believe for the most part that it's an educational thing. You know, I think some kids think that, you know, retweeting something that is insensitive remark towards anybody else, they don't recognize how that by retweeting it, they are in effect endorsing that and making it as almost as if they've said it themselves. That's what I think people need to have the recognition of, what social media can impact who you are and how you are perceived. And my perception is my reality. And so whether or not you are a completely insensitive jerk on social media, and you may be the nicest person in the world, my perception of you before I meet you is such that that's who you are. And so for my my first impression of you has been completely altered simply because of what you wanted to tweet or retweet or post on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or WhatsApp or whatever the other new ones are nowadays.
Great point right there, Coach. And last but not least, really, really appreciate this interview. Last but not least, if you could take yourself back to, you said you were a great wrestler and football player, age 17, 18, you're going to walk on the Northern Michigan campus for the very first time. What would Javon DeWitt, coach at Central Florida, tell Javon DeWitt, 18-year-old?
Huh, that's a really good question. I would learn to slow down and have more appreciation for the little things. Whether it's just, I would learn to breathe it all in more than I did. I enjoyed it. I had as much fun, if not more fun, than anybody else in the country during my college playing days. I was able to experience some success, but I don't know that I fully appreciated how good of a thing I had while it was on. And I know they say youth is wasted on the young. But to me, I think if I was 17 or 18 years old again and a freshman in college like I was, I would tell myself to slow down and really just appreciate every little thing that happens for you or with you or to you, because those are going to be experiences that, as you're later on in life, you're not going to be able to live again. And so whether it's just sitting on the bench and in between a series and taking in, you know, just being at a college football game and playing in a college football game, you know, I think those are valuable moments that a lot of people overlook, and you don't get a real appreciation for how big the game of college football is and has become. And once you do that and you garner an appreciation for those experiences, I think it'll help you play longer and harder and better, to be honest with you.
Wow. Amazing show, Coach. You really hit a home run. We were expecting that. And I know you're on the road, so safe travels. And thank you so much for your time tonight.
Absolutely. No problem, man. Anytime, anything I can do to help, I'm glad to do so.
Perfect. Well, we'll stay in contact with you because we've got some players that would love to be UCF Knights as well.
Outstanding.
All right. So, hey, there you guys have it. That is Coach Javon DeWitt. Great coach, bright future. He's currently the linebacker coach at UCF and just really doing some great things, you guys. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. I know you did. And you know, just take it to the bank. This is somebody that had success on the field as a player, but has now had success after his career as a coach. So what he's telling you, you can take it to the bank. He said, you know, he's trying to see when he's evaluating a young man if they like football or if they love football. There's going to be some days that are not easy, you guys, but you'll get through it if you love it. If you just like it, you may want to go home. He mentioned that college is a generational gift, especially for some of you guys that have families where nobody went to college. So you've got to cash out. You got to scrape the plate, make the most of your opportunity, where that college opportunity for you is something that's filtered down riches for others in your family. And then he said, hey, we look at the background check. We look at the social media. I'll talk to a guidance counselor. You know, he is trying to figure out which 20 to 25 kids a year are worthy of a six-figure scholarship to the University of Central Florida. Out of the whole country, he's trying to find 20 to 25 of you. So you don't have time to play around. You have to move from student athlete to business athlete, and you want to do that sooner than later. So once again, hopefully you guys got a lot out of tonight's show. Please go to our website at www.beforeyougopro.com. We work with athletes across the country on this type of education on a daily basis. We are a consulting company, but we also pump out a lot of content. So please go to www.beforeyougopro.com, share this show, share some of the other content, give us a call, sign up, become a part of the family, and then we can eventually see you at the top. So I am Coach Terrence Wood signing off for Before You Go Pro and the rest of the Before You Go Pro family. We will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.
Closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever been.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted, but that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can get in the doors, but it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer, closer than I ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever been.
My whole life's been a chase, it's a gift and a curse. Was on my way up to the top and slipped into reverse. And the same thing I thought killed me brought out the real me. That's real, see. You gotta find what you love and let it kill you. Just gotta live with the will like Uncle Phil do. Cause on the real, everybody go through times when the sun don't shine. Don't know when our time will come, but it will come in time. Cause yo, I said it first, ain't no telling where I'm headed. So this is for the people that was with me when I said it. And when I said it, I meant it, I swear I won't forget it. Told my family and my friends that I'm forever indebted to friends.